the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
One listener, Tina in Leitrim, says, why are the Barack Obama tickets so expensive? It was advertised at 25 euro. Now the cheapest is over 300 euro. Cost prohibitive for most. I would love to hear him and Fintan O'Toole together. As it happens, I just have gone on to Ticketmaster website on the back of that message into the last word 0874100102 to check the prices, because one of my daughters had said to me that she would like to go. And a full price ticket, the cheapest available at present, and there's only a handful left, for one ticket, €368.75. That's €368.75 for a single ticket to hear Barack Obama in conversation with Fintan O'Toole. Cal Thomas, what do you make of that? I know you've been giving out to me that when you come to Ireland these days, it's very expensive when you get to hotels. What do you make of spending nearly €370 on a single ticket to hear Fintan O'Toole talk to President Barack Obama?
Matt, the only person I'd pay that much to hear in person would be you. I don't think there's anything that Barack Obama can say that he hasn't already said for free. You see him now. He just made a talk the other day about how Democrats need to toughen up, but didn't really define what that meant, against President Trump. Most of these politicians have said everything on the record. There's really nothing new for them to say. So people who would pay that much money, I think, is just for the privilege of being in the same room with him, the same stadium, wherever they're holding this, and absorbing his aura. That's the only reason I can think. I don't think most people are going to pay that kind of money. I doubt if he'll have a full house.
Oh, I think it's almost sold out. It's about 13,000 people will be in the Three Arena in Dublin, Cal.
Really? Wow, yes. I'm shocked. Well, I would pay that much to hear you and Mary Black, but not many others.
Okay. How much is it going to cost to hear you and Marion together at the Kennedy Summer School on Saturday, August 30th? I believe the tickets are on the kennedysummerschool.ie. I'm looking at present on the website, trying to find out what the price is to hear the two of you with Larry Donnelly.
Well, whatever it is, Matt, I can assure that it will be worth it. Matter of fact, when Larry asked us to come back, he said we were returning by popular demand. Our place was full last time. We had some very intelligent questions, very nice people. And I think it's important for people to see that Marion and I are friends, that we respect each other, and that this is the way our politics and our social interaction ought to be. And I think it's encouraging to people to see that. And I hope we'll be a model for it again, as we were last time.
Marion McKeown, tell us a little bit about Obama, though, maybe slightly re-entering the political fray by telling Democrats that they have to toughen up against Trump.
Yeah, and just to add very quickly to what Cal said, I believe Cal might even sing at this year's Kennedy Summer School. I'm certainly looking
forward to
it.
Only if you want to clear the room.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, Obama isn't really the best messenger at the moment for this message, because he is talking about the need for self-sacrifice and for Democrats to toughen up, but he hasn't really been leading from the front on this. You know, Obama was really largely invisible on the campaign trail in a number of ways. He was invisible in the get out the vote and the voter registration drives and all these things that are really important to make sure that people actually turn up and vote. And yes, he did, you know, turn in for a few starring appearances at the DNC, and he did speak very well at that. But, you know, he doesn't, I don't think a lot of people feel that he's really invested at the moment. You know, Democratic former presidents have by and large gone off and done some pretty decent things. Jimmy Carter sets the gold standard for that, but the Habitat for Humanity, his housing, his peace initiatives. Bill Clinton, before he was completely trashed by Trump, the Clinton Global Initiative actually did a lot of really good work, and I saw some of that firsthand in Africa. Obama's been kind of, you know, sitting around in people's yachts and hanging around Bruce Springsteen and making documentaries. He just hasn't really, there's a lot of great stuff he could have done, as I said, to do with voter registration, to do with animating younger voters. He's a powerful voice. He's one of the country's best orators. And, you know, and I think a lot of people were disillusioned when they saw him yucking it up with Donald Trump at Jimmy Carter's funeral, when in fact, you know, he had been the one who said that if Trump becomes president, like the catastrophe that it would be. And I think it made people, certainly Democrats I spoke with, feel quite cynical about him and about politics in general. So I'm not, you know, as I say, I think he needs to lead from the front if he wants to show precisely what he is talking about. And I think his snipe at some of the lawyers saying that they wouldn't be able to afford their kitchen renovation in the Hamptons, which is one of the things he said about lawyers who had signed these deals with Trump, which I think were absolutely disgraceful, but they took their own toll, because certainly I don't think many people would hire a law firm that would cave that easily. And I'm referring, of course, to when Trump went after these law firms that he saw as supporting Democratic causes, and he basically threatened to keep them out of federal buildings and destroy their companies if they didn't sign, if they were shakedowns, if they didn't sign deals that gave him, you know, up to $1 billion in pro bono causes of his choosing, etc. And some of them stood up to him. They were backed by the courts and they've got more business, whereas the ones that caved have actually lost business as a result. But, you know, Obama has some very nice houses as well. And I think it just came across as a little bit snide and not necessarily helpful in the way that he spoke about it. But also, he's speaking at these paid events. What's he actually doing? What's he doing to stiffen the spine of the base? You know, I don't see him doing a whole lot.
OK, let's talk a little bit about Donald Trump and why he's very disappointed with Vladimir Putin. Let's hear what he had to say.
One of the reasons that you're here today is to hear that we are very unhappy, I am, with Russia. But we'll discuss that maybe a different day. But we're very, very unhappy with them, and we're going to be doing very severe tariffs if we don't have a deal in 50 days. Tariffs at about 100%. You'd call them secondary tariffs. You know what that means. But today we're going to talk about something else. And as you know, we've spent $350 billion approximately on this war with Russia and Ukraine. And would like to see it end. It wasn't my war. It was Biden's war. It's not my war. I'm trying to get you out of it. And we want to see it end. And I'm disappointed in President Putin, because I thought we would have had a deal 2 months ago, but it doesn't seem to get there.
So, Carl, is the penny finally dropping that he's been Putin's patsy?
Well, I don't know about that, Matt, but I do know that I don't know where he's been hiding. I mean, Putin is a killer. He's a former KGB man. He kills his opponents, including journalists. He imprisons people. He is not a nice guy. This is not some kind of behavior that's been hidden from the world and only recently discovered. I think Trump is finally waking up to the fact, or at least I hope he is, that his personality is not sufficient to overcome the evil of somebody like Putin. I'm amazed and delighted that Ukrainians are praising Melania Trump for challenging her husband's faith in Putin. I mean, she saw it as a former, she was born in the former Yugoslavia, and she saw communism and totalitarianism up close as she was growing up. So I'm glad that she's speaking out to him. 50 days, though, is an awful lot of time to continue to do major damage. And for the audience that doesn't know what secondary tariffs are, that means he would impose tariffs on any nation that deals with Russia after the sanctions are imposed, if in fact they are. You'll never know with Trump.
Yeah, but exactly, because Marion, is Putin likely to be laughing and says, oh, I've been given 50 days by Trump? Sure, he'll extend that deadline like he always does.
Well, I think that there's probably very little reason for Putin to be concerned here, genuinely, because we've seen with everything Trump does and you know, the taco trade Trump sobriquet that he's got, that he always chickens out. He has given Trump, he's given Putin several deadlines already, 2 week deadlines, whatever. He has threatened sanctions previously a couple of times already. He's already said Putin is crazy and acting like a crazy person or whatever. You know, this isn't the first of it. But also, is Trump really serious about arming Ukraine in a way that would actually make a difference in this war? I don't think so. Giving them Patriot missiles, they're purely for defensive purposes. Now, last month, Ukraine suffered the most deaths of any month since the war started, almost, I think, in 3 years. And, you know, so Trump is suggesting now that NATO can buy these defensive weapons and then pass them on from the US and then pass them on to Ukraine. But he's not said anything about the weapons that Ukraine really wants, the weapons that would actually attack Russian targets and bring the war to Russia. So I don't think that, I think it's pretty weak sauce, quite frankly, what he's saying. And, you know, he's already threatened 50 days here and 50 days there in every country in the world, practically. There's little reason to think Russia would be any different.
Okay. Carl, somebody who now has come to live in Ireland for the time being is American citizen Rosie O'Donnell, the comedian, chat show host, actress. Decided to move over here earlier this year after Trump came back into power. Trump, who has attacked her previously during election campaigns and whatever, has now threatened to remove her citizenship, which is something he legally he can't do, so perhaps it can be ignored on that basis. But how concerning is it that you have this authoritarian streak that he thinks that it's appropriate to threaten to strip the citizenship of somebody he doesn't like?
You know, every president takes an oath of office, and that includes to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Threatening to remove somebody's citizenship is not upholding the Constitution of the United States. But I will say something in praise of Rosie O'Donnell. In addition to our gain being Ireland's loss, I would say that she is the only celebrity of which I am aware that is actually followed through on her promise to leave the country if Trump was elected. Barbra Streisand said she was going to leave the country, and if Trump was elected the first time, she's still out there at her mansion in California. Bruce Springsteen said he was going to leave the country. He's still here doing concerts and making money. So I give credit to Rosie O'Donnell for following through on her principles, and I wish the others would too.
Okay, well, I wonder about the principles of the MAGA movement, Marion. Are the likes of Dan Bongino going to stay as part of the Trump empire, given that Trump seems to have let Bongino down on things like the Epstein files?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of talk and there's a lot of huffing and puffing and anger within, it appears, MAGA circles over the Epstein files, because Trump was, of course, the original master of the conspiracy theory, the Obama birther theory, and the fact he claimed that, you know, the 2020 election was stolen from him. He's embraced it. I can't even tell you how many other conspiracy theories. But, the deep faith, it really is bread and circuses at a lot of the Trump rallies that I attended over the decade, where, like, they're not really listening to a lot of stuff. A lot of the Trump really diehard supporters, you know, the promises that he's going to do this, he's going to do that, tax cuts or whatever. What they are really bound to him by is they hate the same people that he hates, or so they believed. And they really believed one of those was Jeffrey Epstein. And they really thought that this was, you know, a big Democratic plot that they were trying to conceal, the client is protect people like Bill Clinton and all these weird Democrats as they saw it. And now that Trump, you know, and all of his people, Bongino, launched a career and a really successful podcast before he became the wholly inappropriate deputy director of the FBI, on the back of the Epstein files, and we have to get them, we have to name and shame these people, etc., and prosecute them and go after them. And now that it all seems, according to Pam Bondi, who had said she had the client list on her desk and then she backtracked on that, and that now was all a big hill of nothing, and they're furious. And I think that this might be the start of some MAGA disillusionment with Trump. I think when they see the impact of his big beautiful bill, they're going to be even angrier. And I think there are probably going to be a lot of other things. A lot of red states are in disaster areas when they see how slow FEMA is going to be to respond, and that might be also disillusioning. But they've nowhere else to go, really. Where they're not going to start voting Democrat. So where else do they go? They're kind of stuck with Trump, and he's stuck with them. And so are all these influencers and podcasters, the Joe Rogans, the Bonginos, who made their fortunes by hitching their wagon to Trump. Mm-hmm. So I don't see them really separating.
Okay, what do you think? Sorry, that? Cal, yes.
Yeah. Alan Dershowitz, the former Harvard lawyer who helped get a plea deal for Epstein in 2008, said there's no Epstein client list, just a redacted FBI affidavit from accusers. And he also says that none of the people in the affidavit are figures currently holding a public office. I'm not into conspiracies, but I do know that powerful people do protect themselves and each other. And people like Bill Clinton and Bill Gates and many of these other high-profile people who went to Epstein's Island were not going for sun and fun. And the big question, to me anyway, is did any of them engage in illegal sexual activity with minor girls. We know that Epstein loved those young girls. And I think it's important to find out as much as we can about this. Now, I've got this fantasy that I would make a deal, the Justice Department make a deal with Gisela Maxwell, who was...
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Who was Epstein's procurer, will give you a reduced sentence if you come before Congress under oath and tell us everything you know. Now, that would be a hearing worth watching.
It would indeed, but I think it bears remembering as well that there is plenty of video evidence of Donald Trump partying with Jeffrey Epstein, photographs of Trump and Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell together,
right.
That he knew him very well and has tried to deny that he did. I've also been told there are others, as well as Rosie O'Donnell, who did leave the US, the likes of Ellen DeGeneres, Richard Gere, actor, moved to Spain, Eva Longoria.
Oh, really?
There are others who have put their
I guess that says something about their celebrity. I just did read about Ellen DeGeneres moving over to Ireland and supporting Rosie O'Donnell. Did she go to Ireland? I think she did.
I'm not sure if she's come to Ireland. I don't think it's to Ireland. One last one to you, Marion, though. And I suppose this just shows that you can never trust Trump not to be on the grift. Tell us, there's been this football tournament that even I haven't had much interest in recent times. A lot of football fans are wondering what the point of the Club World Cup has been, other than allowing FIFA's boss Infantino to further ingratiate himself with Trump and with Saudi Arabia. It was won by Chelsea at the weekend, and yet it seems like they didn't get the trophy because the Gold Club World Cup has been kept by Trump.
Well, I know probably less about football than anyone on the planet, but I did see some of the New Jersey, the final purpose, which was played in New Jersey, and I saw Trump being roundly booed and jeered at that when he came up on the Jumbotron and when he walked across the field. And then I also saw him forgetting or refusing to leave the stage when they were celebrating, and he looked like the drunken uncle in a family wedding shot where everybody's going, would you get out of the picture? And he just refused to do so. It was crazy. But apparently he claims that he has the original gold trump in our gold cup and the World Cup Club Trophy in the White House, and that it was given to him, and the one that they got is actually a copy. I don't know if this is true. It doesn't seem clear whether or not this is the case, but certainly he has one. But I don't know if you've seen the Oval Office recently, Matt, and it looks like the overflow room in a pawn shop. It's just appalling. There's bits of gold and bling everywhere, so it could well be in there, along with all the other bling that he's put up and stuck up around the place. Just seems bizarre, and maybe he is trying to drum up interest for the World Cup next year, which is in the States, but that's going to be a tricky one, because if you look at all the countries that are banned, if you look at the immigration stuff and all that, and the general ill will towards America at the moment, I think a lot of people might think that they just won't bother going.
Well, if we manage to qualify by some miracle, I think we'll be bringing the last word to the United States next summer.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome.
All right. Mary McKeown, Cal Thomas, thank you very much. And just, I'm told, Ellen DeGeneres now lives in the Cotswolds in England.
The last word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.